It's the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. It's the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. It's the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Everywhere I go.
Amen. Somebody ought to say amen today as we prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Something about those in-home songs. So you may have been down this week or feeling low. If God has put one of those old songs on your heart, sing it. I guarantee you, you will feel better. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And as we come today, it is our prayer that we might decrease and that you might increase. God, this is your word. May someone be encouraged. May someone give their heart to you. But at the end of the day, may you get all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to direct your attention, if you have your Bibles with you, and we allow you to cheat because we put it on the screen. But it's 2 Peter. It's the letter that Peter writes to the church. 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. If you have your Bibles or your tablets, you can find it, or you can certainly read it with us today. It says in verse number 8, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise," in verse 9, "as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, God's Timing. God's Timing. It was in December of 2006 that myself and a news crew boarded an international flight out of Washington, D.C., en route to Liberia, West Africa. We made a day stop in Brussels and then moved on to the motherland. The mission was to tell the story of those freed slaves who journeyed to West Africa to begin afresh and anew. This was all part of the American colonization proposal that those who were free could go and start over. Keep in mind, this was 50 years before the end of slavery, and they made their way to start anew. And it's because of that that we made that journey. It was called Africa's Maryland. It was an award-winning documentary, but it was a time to spend time with the people of that country. I got to hear their stories. I got to document their faith and what they had been going through. And once we arrived there, certainly this country was a country that has been challenged in so many ways. Civil war had ravished the country. People were trying to get back onto their feet. But one thing was certain during my conversations with those that I got to meet, their faith remained strong. They're in Harper in Maryland County. And those of you who may have gone to Liberia say, I know where that is. We got to stay in what we thought were top accommodations. It was a place that had no electricity, none of the amenities you would find in your major hotels, but there was concern and there was caring in that place. It was during one of our conversations with two sisters who pretty much ran that building, and I began to listen to what she had to say. And she said, you know, God is slow, but God is sure. And that thing stayed with me. This was not a made-for-TV quote. She says, God is slow, but God is sure. That stayed with me for quite some time. And this morning, I want to talk about the importance of God's timing. God's timing. In our text today, we meet Peter. He's one of the major biblical characters that we often hear about, someone who was a part of the inner circle of Jesus Christ. But he begins his journey really there at the Sea of Galilee. His trade was fishing. But Jesus comes along and sees he and his brother, and he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And isn't it amazing how God will change your resume, add to it, take some things off, and whatever you're doing now, God could use that to his glory? That was Peter's case. Peter was a part, again, of that inner circle. He was the only one besides Jesus who walked on the water. Isn't that amazing? But he got to document many of the miracles of Jesus Christ, things he had seen, things he could write about. Isn't it great to talk to someone who has a testimony about what they've experienced in life? That was Peter's case. On one occasion, his mother-in-law was ill. Jesus came by the house and spoke a word on her, and she was able to get up to the glory of God. But Peter's life was one that was also challenged. He was one who was astute. There was a time when Jesus had his disciples around him. He says, tell me, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Moses. But Peter, he must have been a gifted and talented student, says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ said to him, you know what? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. It had to come from my Father. In the later years of the ministry of Jesus, Peter was certainly rambunctious. He was at a situation where he cut off the ear of one of those who was taking Jesus in. He denied him. But in the end, life will change. Aren't you glad that God gives you an opportunity to rebound? That was the case of Peter. He preached there on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved. There was a baptismal service. And so now this Peter, a leader of the church, is writing to those who are going through to remind them about God's timing, his perfect timing, his promised time, and his personal timing. Let's take the first one. It says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. There's something about God's perfect time. It is not a defective time. It is a time that is flawless, that God knows what he's doing, and we have to trust his wisdom. As these Christians were hearing in a letter from Peter, they were being persecuted. They were being mocked because persons said, well, I thought your Jesus was coming back. It sounds to me like he's not returned yet. But don't you know that Jesus is coming back just like he said he would? And you may think it's a delay, but Peter reminds them that they've got to work on God's timetable. That's a hard thing to embrace and to process, that even though I want it yesterday, that God is a God who moves at God's time. Amen? If we're honest, we wanted things to happen on yesterday. This affected our five-year plan. This affected our vision board. And so therefore, we're sitting there twiddling our fingers saying, it didn't happen. But don't you know that God is in charge? That God is in control. Amen. And you remember that as a parent, I do, going on trips, and my children were anxious, and so were yours, and so were you when you were a child. You wanted to know on those long trips, are we there yet? And you may be asking in your own life, am I there yet? I am just anxious. And the Bible says to be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. And you know what? He is quoting from Psalm 90. He doesn't say that a day is a thousand years. It says it's like a thousand years. It is all about God's timing. Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. God has perfect time, but he also has a promised time. As we look at verse number 9, it says, the Lord is not slow. And there again, I'm referring back to that quote that is always in my spirit from my sister in Liberia. God is slow, but he's sure. He's not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. God's promise time. See, God has given his word, and from his word, he will do exactly what he said he would do. We in the flesh, we get a little frustrated, we get down, we get depressed. But if God said it, he will do what? He will bring it to pass. We get upset if our plane is late. Now, I booked first class, and this plane is late. Maybe it's a train that did not come on time. You don't want to hear the announcement that it's running late because you've paid top dollar. You don't want to hear that the bus is not on time. We have lost patience. Amen. And we think that a slow response is due to God not listening to us. That couldn't be further from the truth. We're not taking time to be patient. Song says, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Patience is something that we have to embrace and learn. The Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. That sometimes you got to go through some things to learn, you know what? It's going to be all right. And to get into a chill mode to God, I know you've got this. And my spirit is warring against my flesh. And my flesh tells me it's past time. But when you work on God's agenda, he will come at the right time. I love Psalm 40:1. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. How many folk right now are waiting on something? Maybe you're waiting for another stimulus check. We don't know if that's going to come or not. But has God not provided your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that we're waiting and we have to wait with patience, knowing that God has a promised time that he will come through at the right time for you, and he will do it without delay. See, sometimes we forget Can I just testify? Sometimes you've forgotten what you prayed for. You've forgotten what you were begging God for. And all of a sudden, you've walked into that, which he's promised you. Just like that, he has caused you to see it in the land of the living. He is a God of promise. And Peter was trying to get the people to see that, that no matter what you are going through, that his timing is different from your timing. Amen. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we think we're some brainiacs, don't we? Don't you know that God is the one who made you? Amen. He's the one who scooped us up out of the dust and blew into our nostrils. We became living soul. Sometimes we forget the order. You're not God. You might be somebody, but you're not God. Amen. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman and made under the law. I am so glad that God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad about that today? If you're glad about nothing else, be glad that God sent his son, his promised time, his perfect time, and then his personal time. We'll take the latter part of verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting that anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's it. That's the nail on the head. He really is concerned about your life. Amen. And my life. And so that's what really is important in this walk, is that someone might come and turn their lives around. Repentance means to change one's mind. I'm so glad today, and I believe you can testify, that one day the Lord changed my mind. God knows where my mind was heading, but he changed my mind, turned me around, and I could repent to say, I am sorry for my sins. I may as well put this in. I thought it. My dad would chuckle with us, and you would say, I'm sorry. He would say, I know that. Tell me something I don't know. He wasn't calling you sorry, but he didn't want to hear an excuse. And aren't you glad today that when you come before the Lord, you can repent of your sins and he will what? He will pick you up and turn you around. God is waiting. God has his own time. That yes, we know that Jesus is coming back like he said he would. But we have an opportunity now to do what? To call persons to repentance, to be baptized, to be saved, knowing that there's a purpose and a plan for God. My God, I was on the parking lot of an establishment just a few days ago. And my MO is I'll say to people, how you doing today? Hoping that they give me that much of a window that I can ease in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I met my match. When I met this sister, she said, yeah. And she dropped one on me. I said, oh, I got excited in Jesus. I said, you know what? I think I know who you are now. And we began to have a dialogue about Jesus Christ right in the parking lot, all based on what? One conversation. It's the repentant life. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We've got to be ready because we don't know when our time will come. The old saint will say, don't let him catch you with your work undone. God is a God of timing. And when someone gives their life to Jesus Christ, there ought to be a celebration. You ought not shun them. Say, you used to be fun and now you're not fun anymore. We used to hang out, but now you've gotten all holy Jesus. Amen. Yeah, you've been through it. I've been through it. You haven't seen somebody for a minute and all of a sudden now they're giving God the praise. You don't like it. But there ought to be some rejoicing taking place. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus talks about the woman who had 10 coins, but she lost one. And man, she tore the house up trying to find that one coin. And when she found it, she got excited and said, come on, rejoice with me. That which is lost has now been found. And Jesus responds, I tell you, there is rejoicing in heaven among the angels when one sinner repents. Amen. that when you lead one person to Christ, you know, the angels will say, wait, we got another one. Aren't you glad the day came that when you gave your life to Jesus, this Jesus who died on an old rugged cross, this Jesus who got up on the third day morning, when you accepted him into your heart, my God, there ought to be a party taking place. It's all about God's timing. But you know what? You can't hurry God. I love that song of my youth. You can't hurry God. You just have to wait. You have to trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes. You see, he's a God. You can't hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. He may not come when you want him to come. But my God, he's right on time. Anybody can say that today, that you waiting on the edge saying, God, when are you going to come? He will come at the right time. It's all about God's time. In fact, while you're watching this broadcast, God is coming through for you even now. Put that watch down and take that alarm off. God will alarm you with his blessings. I'm glad today that I know the God of timing. Amen. Isn't that good news today? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you operate on a different time, in a different time zone than we do. But God, I thank you because we can trust you with all of our hearts and souls. I pray even now, God, it is time for someone who's listening to this broadcast or watching this broadcast to turn their lives over to you. It's time. It's long past time. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, not later, but at the time of your confession. Do it today in that life, we pray in Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm excited about that. I'm just so glad that he's a God of timing. Amen.